sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. The message you're about to hear is a straightforward, down-to-earth and insightful teaching by Adelaide Heward Mills. Adelaide serves under her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, as a pastor at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Adelaide is a handmaiden of God and is privileged to have been used by God to pastor and to speak the word of God, both nationally and internationally, to all ages and gender. She has a plethora of messages on many issues, experiences, and situations of life from God's perspective. Get ready to be transformed as you listen to this message by God's anointed handmaiden, Adelaide Heward Mills.
So the first question is it always advisable for a man to always be the one to ask for sex?
Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word and your counsel. We pray that you will lead us by your Holy Spirit. Grant us light in Jesus' name. Amen. LPBM, yes, Emuna, please read the question again.
Is it always advisable for a man to always be the one to ask for sex?
Ask and you receive. Oh. But I think also that everybody likes to be desired. So the sisters or the wife should also try and initiate sometimes so that the man will feel wanted, you know, and liked. I think that it's an art. We have to learn it.
Okay. Anytime we have issues, out of anger, he says, if I'm not interested in the marriage, I can go. What should I do? I think you've answered that in your preaching.
I think that when he's in his sober moments, then you must talk to him that, look, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And when you keep saying this, it's not helpful. So you don't have to say that, you know. And your speech is not ministering grace. Now, in the judicial system, when you take a case to the lower courts, let's say the district court, it doesn't work. From magistrate courts, then district courts, then you go to high courts. And that's where court of appeal, then court of appeal to Supreme Court. So when you say it and it's not working, your first court or district court may be your pastor. So draw your pastor's attention to it. But I think that in his sober moment, if you also said it in a gracious way, that, look, I know that maybe sometimes you're upset, but when you say that, it's not helpful and it's not edifying. So please, I think it will help.
Amen. This is a serious one. What is a perfect marriage?
The others are also serious. What is a perfect marriage? A perfect marriage is a marriage that is built on the principles of the Bible, and a marriage that when you have problems, you are able to either solve it or manage it and move on. You see, in life, there are many diseases that may not be solved, but they are managed. That is why when people have asthma, they may use an inhaler. When people have sugar problems, they may have some medication. They may not be perfect, but the medicine helps them to manage it. So also your marriage, some areas may just have to be managed. And I think that also having the key of acceptance. You know, the Bible says that who can make straight that which God has made crooked? But most of the time, the man's parents have, or the woman's parents have lived with them as they are and have not been able to change them for, let's say, 25 years. And then you have come and you've made yourself a personal Holy Ghost. to go and live in the man or the woman, to change him and to will and to do what you want. And that leads to a lot of frustration. There are a lot of things you can't change, even about yourself, except the Holy Ghost does it. So you must accept the person as he is. And I would say to those unmarried that often you see something you don't like. But when you are in love, you either explain it away or you have false hopes that it will change. But what I want to say is that whatever you see that you don't like is not going to change. Rather, in marriage, multiply it by times 1,000, because that's what you are going to see. So the question, if you are unmarried, what you should ask yourself is, can I live with this problem multiplied by 1,000? So if you can, then go ahead. If you can't, you are just going to exchange problems. Maybe you can cope with another problem. But most of us have been saved by grace because we know that we are not perfect, but the key of acceptance has made us move on. And I think that sometimes too, when God gives you the wisdom to be able to be discerning, it helps. For instance, your husband might have a temperament that is the opposite of what you have. Some years ago, a relative of mine came to our house because it was my mother's milestone anniversary. We all had a great weekend, and this relative, my mother would sometimes say, go and take this from the room for me, whatever. It was okay. But the Sunday we went to church, we came back, we had great lunch after all the great dinners. It was very nice. Then, when the relative came to the bedroom, my dad was sleeping. And when my dad woke up and saw her, she said, hey, don't come here again. I don't trust you. So we were downstairs when the relative came crying. And then she lamented what had happened. And I was so upset that we've had such a good weekend. And you, my father, even if she shouldn't come there again, why are you saying it now and here? And, you know, so later my husband was there. He asked me, oh, what's the brouhaha about? And I said, it's my dad. This my relative went there and he said that this, and I don't think it's right. And my husband said, ah, but if that's what he feels, what should he say? And I said, no, but you can't just say what you feel. And anyway, it has ended. The person is going. So like, my husband kept quiet and said to me, so he should say it, but he should say it in his head. You see? And that made me also see our differences. So I realized that he's very upfront with the things he says, you know, and sometimes blunt. I said, I don't like this and this, but I am not like that. And often, opposites attract, you know, but I don't think that you should say things so like my father, you know. I feel that you could have told the relative that, oh, I'm sleeping, Zimbocho, Sambahanchui, or something. You know, so sometimes God makes you, and for me personally, what God does is that he makes me see people reacting, not with me, but in another episode. And it makes me know that that's how you are. I don't know if you understand. Like, I know that this is how you are. You always speak so sharply and so bluntly. Frankly, you cannot hide. And you also don't gossip about people. It's like what you see is what you get. So I see that it's not just me. I see that when you are related to your sisters, you do the same. So I see that it's not personal to me. And therefore, it makes it easier to handle it. So I think that's all part of the key of acceptance, being discerning. The mic, please change it.
Hello? Okay. How do I go about this issue? My husband doesn't give me anything, but when I get mine, then he takes it.
I don't know if you sat down to write to talk to him. Now I've come to see that everybody sometimes communicates differently. Some people communicate better in writing, and especially those with a bad tongue, because when you write, your face and your talking and is not in the writing, so it makes the writing more palatable. And sometimes, you know, I have a friend who says that whenever there's an issue, her husband will never talk. And then when he goes to the office, then he will be texting and she gets angry. And I said, no, but at least he's communicating. And that's his way of communicating. So if you also don't mind, then you also write. But she says that when she writes, after when he comes home in the evening, he will not talk. Then when he goes, I said, but, you know, at least he's communicating. So meet him at that point. And so find a way that is an effective way of communicating with him. And if that fails, then please see your pastor so that he can be spoken to. And please don't think that your wife or your husband has come to report you. It's just we are a family, and we're having family meetings to deal with our issues, okay? So it's not reporting. All have sinned, okay? So ask him. And also women, I find, like solving problems by asking questions. But men just want solutions, you know? So when we are talking to them, let's say, every time he says he's coming to pick you for somewhere, he comes late. So you rather have to say the solution that, oh, please, I would appreciate it if you could come on time. But what we do is we say that, so are you now coming? So why are you now coming? So what explanation do you have? So you are asking a question with a question. It doesn't work. But when you speak the solution, what you want, I think it's easier. I think.
He doesn't like me around him. Even if something happens in his house and...
His house?
I think okay. His hometown. Things to do, yeah. Even if something happens in his house, I have to arrange with his brother's wife who comes from the same hometown so I can lodge with her before I can even attend that occasion.
I wonder why he's like that. It's a problem. I cannot say it's not a problem. But again, I don't know what mode of communication will be effective with him. I have realized, for instance, that I was counseling somebody and I said that your husband doesn't like direct ways of solving the problem. So if you say that, let's say, what are some of the problems in marriage? Why don't you give me any money? Whatever, I don't like it when you don't. Now, I told her that she should speak as if she's doing general paper. And she told me that it's really working. Because she talks to him and says that, you know, when people don't give their spouses money, it really makes them feel whether they care or not. It makes the spouses wonder. So in that way, the person doesn't feel you are personally facing him. But you are generally saying it is something that happens. And it makes him easy to imbibe it. So I think that it's also studying your partner, your marriage. Look at what are the things that he responds positively to and why. What are the ways it's communicated to him? Why he flows with that, you know, and then learning. My marriage is a learning experience. And then also you need help for somebody to speak into his life to say, you know, you can't let your wife go and lodge somewhere when you are there, you know. But maybe he's very busy or he's very whatever, he will not even mind you. So you may be happier at your sister-in-law's place, but it depends. And also prayer. Prayer really changes things. And prayer really changes people's hearts, you know. So learn to pray. Pray about your future. Pray about God sending you the person you should marry. Because people like saying, right man, right woman. But are you also right? You know? And yeah.
Hallelujah.
He says, in all your ways, acknowledge me, not some, and I will direct your path. You see?
So this one says, how does a husband deal with a narcissist wife?
With a what?
A narcissist.
Narcissist wife who thinks just about herself. And she probably is blind to it, so somebody has to help her see it. You know, so then again, you need an arbiter. You need a Solomon who will say, give the baby to this one because this is the right mother. And you need to be willing to accept the counsel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you deal with stress in marriage? And what is the most stressful part of marriage?
Marriage is hard work. And I was talking to somebody, he said, Auntie Bam, this is the most difficult enterprise I've ever undertaken in my life. And I said, yes, because it's hard work. And I think it involves your emotions, your mind, your expectations of love. And so it makes it complex, you know. So marriage can be stressful. But learn your own de-stresses. Learn how to make yourself happy. Amen. Especially the ladies and even the men. No one person has been created by God to be a manufacturer of your happiness.
Okay.
It doesn't exist. Somebody came to my office a few days ago and told me that she went for some one-day course or something somewhere in another country. And then after that, she went to visit her friend. And boy, mommy, we had fun. She said when they woke up, they did photo shoots. Beautiful photo shoot. They would wear this dress. They would change. They realized that they were happy. After that, they went to the beach. And they chilled and they took pictures. After the beach, they went to eat. She mentioned the restaurant. She said, the food there, mommy, is so nice. And then after that, she said, thank you very much. I said, for what? She said, for teaching us that we can be happy on our own. And not waiting for anybody to come and happy us. And I think that when that happens, you also put less stress on your marriage. And you don't expect all the happiness to come from this one source. And so if this one source fails, your world collapses. No, it's not like that. So now if you marry an evangelist, he's always on crusades. And he's not in your house. So every day you will be saying, oh, no. No, there are so many things to do to make you happy. Amen. So please, including prayer, getting close to God. I think that even having something to do in the house of God relieves you of stress. And the amazing thing is, when you reach out your hands to help somebody, it brings you so much fulfillment. You are already a fulfilled woman before you go to where you are going. So I would say that the de-stressor is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything else, family members in the church, sisters to hang out with her, it will all be added unto you. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Wow. Mommy, please, what will you do if you feel like just ending your marriage because of numerous cheating and also feeling unloved? I got married in 2022.
Only
numerous cheatings in 2020 from 2022.
I think you still need a referee, but first of all, pray. You see, every situation may look the same, but God will give you windows. God will give you the way of escape. God will show you how, but you must deal with the things, you know. And how do you deal with it? You know, you may have to write to your husband. You may have to have a serious talk with him. My mother was telling her friend, she said that the friend was saying that my husband, even when I catch him red-handed, he says it's not him. My mother says, even when it's his hand, he will say there's a hand in the fire, but it's not his hand. But there's a hand. You have caught him red-handed. There's a hand in the fire, but it's not his hand. You know, so you are not God. And men, not men as in masculine, but human beings, can play around so many things. So you need a lot of wisdom to know what to do. And also you need an arbiter But prayer changes things. You know, when you go to Full Gospel Businessmen, they give their testimony. They'll tell you the things they were doing, that this and then God just meets them. You don't know how God will meet them. You can't say that, okay, God, I'm married to Saul. He's very some way, but I meet him on the road to Damascus. You cannot. It's God who will decide that I will meet him on the road to Damascus. Uh-huh. And that when I meet him, I'm going to minister this to him. And when that change comes, everything else will change. Only God can do that. So he's your hiding place, honestly. He's your high tower, you know. So learn to be close to him and watch him do miracles. And then also belong to a Bible-believing church where they can speak into your husband's life. Even if he doesn't come to the church, sometimes by virtue of you being there, the pastor has access into his life. And sometimes by just praying, God will give you ways and means by which you may go through or go about certain things. Amen.
Mommy, as a missionary wife, what are you called to do first? Build the church or be a good wife to your husband? Because when you see that one is giving everything to church week, but doesn't put the same effort in pleasing her husband. So what are the priorities? Is
that to you know, the Bible says that he who does not take care of his own is worse than an infidel. You are worse. You are not an unbeliever. You are worse than an unbeliever. So we have to also take care of our own, our homes. You know, so there should be balance. But what it is that most of our husbands are attracted to us because of our spirituality.
Okay.
So we think that that is going to also cater for everything in the marriage. Mm. But when they marry, then they are attracted to us as wives. So they are not looking for lady pastors. They are looking for wives.
Wow.
Do you understand? Wow. So yes, you must do your church duties, whatever. But if you don't take care of your own, you are worse than an infidel. You may think that, oh, because my husband preaches and all, when we go home, then we just drink the Holy Ghost. It's not like that. It's not like that. We just live like normal human beings, you know? And every expectation is on the table, be it the bedroom, be it the dining room, be it the kitchen. It's the same. Do you understand? So you can't be this super powerful lady pastor out there, and then at home, it's like you've left a whole sink of dirty dishes, and we've seen you at Kanishi, you are casting out demons. It's not supposed to be that way. You see, so a bad balance, that's not the way, it's something balance. A false balance. A false balance is an abomination. Proverbs 11:1, I think. So you have to have a good balance. Having said that, the men also have to have a good balance. You see, we will not stop you from doing God's work. And we are not saying you should replace us with God. But you need to also take care of your own. The Bible, Paul said it, you know. And when Jesus was dying, he could just have said, the most important thing is the resurrection. And the most important thing is to go to hell for 3 days and witness to the souls there. So my mother Mary, you know, I mean, God will take care of you. But he didn't do that. He said to John, son, behold your mother. Mother, he put his mother in somebody's hands before he went to do something as spiritual as going to the cross. So you too should be responsible, okay? And nurture your marriage. You know, yes, God comes first, but nurture your marriage. By the grace of God, my husband takes me out to eat every Monday, which you don't know. Some of you say that you are following Bishop Dan, but this, you see, and then
send the recording to my
he
husband.
Makes tea for me virtually every day. The problem is that, yes, I'm a tea lover, but sometimes I'm praying or I'm, so you even bring the tea and it will become cold. And he will add toast to it, you know. But he is the pastor. And also, he lays the bed sometimes in our house. Do you see? So he may be the pastor of 6,000 pastors. But at least he's trying to make up in his home. So you to try, okay? You to try. Ah. So please learn it, learn it. When we couldn't afford it, we still bought spring rolls too, and we will share. You know, sometimes just ice cream. Sometimes it's just coke and kebab. But you know, you've made yourself Barry every day. Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. Look, be a nice husband. Be nice, be nice.
Wow. Thank you, mommy. This is very, I mean,
we've gone now. The restaurant people even know us. When they see us, oh, it's like...
Okay, at what point can one decide to become a housewife so they give themselves to good housekeeping and every other duty of the wife, especially when you feel like you are not doing a good job as a wife and a mother and you are always tired, your husband is also always going out to do church work. It's like, so he's not helping. So
he's not helping, so you are a housewife. So or you are deciding
now,
well,
to be a housewife.
If you have that luxury. Because when I got married, my husband came full time. So I was the breadwinner for some time. You know, so I couldn't have chosen to be a housewife. Of course, when I had my first two children, I became a housewife by force because I was not finding suitable help for them. So I just stayed at home. And that's when we decided to just have the second one so that I'm home. But after that, I had to go back to work because we needed the money. So we didn't have the luxury of me becoming the housewife because my husband had come full time and the church was in no position to pay him. Do you see? And then also some people don't want to become housewives because they want to meet adults in their lives. They don't want to be strapped with babies all their lives and all that. Some people need to go out there. But if you can afford to be a housewife, and that's what you want to do, and your husband also flows with it, then you can go along with that. One of the things, too, is that learn to add yourself to the church work. And sometimes go with him, you know. When the church started, we did a lot of ministry together, a lot. So I wasn't used to it when the church grew. In fact, I don't know whether I've become used to it. I've always been a bit confused, you know, because I was so used to us. We'll do visitation up to about 1 a.m. and then we'll come home together. So I think that when you also do things, you may not even always do it together, but once in a while, maybe you're going for an outdooring, you go. You are going for a funeral, you go. You are going for visitation, you go. So like, you add yourself to the work in a way, you know. And also, you also try and develop a heart for the sheep also, so that you are sort of on the same page, you know. I think that it will make you less of a Michal. Because when David was dancing with the ark, Michal stayed at home. Therefore, she had the opportunity to look through the window and be critical. But if she had joined the dance, she would not have even felt that David was out there dancing and she was inside. So I think that adding yourself to whatever the interest is helps to spice the marriage.
Wow. Powerful. So how do you cope with your phlegmatic wife who is always sleeping and is always saying that she's tired?
Because she's genuinely tired. The temperament books say that phlegmatics are always looking for a chair to sit on. But I think that what can change you It's the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Because they say that a temperament can be spirit controlled. So when the Holy Ghost controls you, you will learn the verse that says, he who does not work must not eat. You will learn that the verse that says, do not be slothful, but fervent in spirit. So all that will change the negatives of your temperament. So I think that if you sat down with your wife and showed her that because she's always sleeping, this doesn't get done and this doesn't get done, it will help. But some of you say your wife is always sleeping, but it's because she sleeps at 2 a.m. And so by 5 a.m. she's asleep, but that doesn't make her lazy. And then you say, oh, bad, yeah. Oh, sorry, Uncle, you have been sleeping for more hours. And she just slept. So, like, we have to do the judging of things properly. But I think that every temperament has a negative, which must be controlled by the Word and by the Holy Spirit.
How do you deal with a cheating husband?
The Bible has said that on the grounds of adultery, you may divorce. The Bible has said, you know. So you have that option. And you have the other option, like the older mothers and things who say that, it doesn't mean anything to them. I had an auntie who used to say that, oh, if you say, oh, where is uncle? They also, okay, we're not toys, no, we're baba. Do you understand? It's like, oh, something just to play. Okay, we're not toys, no, we're one. Oh, we're baba. You know, so to them, it's not anything deep. It's like they even see the person as very light and going, but as Christians, sin is sin. So you have to pray. I don't know whether he's born again, and you have to pray that God himself will convict him, and also that the pastor will be able to minister to him. I think these are your options.
Thank you, Mommy. In a relationship, what should be the ideal age difference between the man and the woman?
The Bible has not got anything like that. So I will not also prescribe anything. And, you know, all the two children of Princess Diana have married older women, either by 2 years. Meghan Markle is 4 years older than Harry. But it doesn't mean that it will not work. You know, so it depends on you and the type of person in the marriage. Because some people too, the age gap is like 30 years. So that one too exists. But the Bible has not specifically said anything. So I will not also specifically play the Holy Ghost. If you can respect the man, it's fine. If you can love the woman, it's fine. Akoko, I can give you the mic.
These two questions I would like to join so that Mommy can answer them. What will you do after a fight in marriage? And how can a husband and wife argue better in marriage?
I don't know. I think that, first of all, it is not compulsory that you speak your mind in the same forum.
Okay.
That's what I have learned. Because sometimes you think we are discussing this, so I must speak my mind now. But you know, the Bible says in James 2:19, I believe, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So I have learned, and I'm still learning, to listen and not necessarily respond in the same forum, but to listen in humility so that I will chew on it. And then later I can come and say, you know, what you were saying last time, I hear you, but then this aspect and this aspect is not so accurate because this and that and that. And I think that that diffuses the war zone a bit more. That's what I think.
Okay. Where's LP Margaret? I don't know if you have any. Yes. These questions, we are done with these ones. So.
Okay, Margaret, do you have any questions? The mic?
Oh, you sent them to me.
OPBM, please wear your glasses.
Forgot them.
You forgot them.
Okay. Is it good for a husband not to save his wife's contact on his phone with the notion of knowing the contact? I don't understand.
Like, he doesn't write the name. He just has the number on her phone.
Yeah.
On his phone. Yeah, he can do what he wants. So far as he reaches you, it's not by force. The rulership is too much. And also, if you want, take his phone and save it as honey, baby, sweetie, whatever you want. But don't read into it.
Okay. I had a huge argument with my partner. I don't know whether if partner means beloved or...
Is partner beloved or living partner?
Uh-huh. So please kindly clarify. Fortunately, the issues have been resolved and we know the parts we played that contributed to the issue and how to get it right moving forward. My problem is that I'm finding it very difficult to look past the very hurtful words he used on me during the argument, as he agreed he meant every word he said. How do I look past this? The main issues have been resolved, but I now resent him for the hurtful words.
Still have to show him grace. If you can live with it, if you can forgive him, and move on. But if not, it's going to be a stumbling block in your relationship. And also, you can tell him that when you use such words, and later you come and say, I'm sorry, it's difficult. But when people are angry, especially in marriage, they say terrible things. Because when we are emotional, we don't think. That's why when David's men came, and their wives and children had been taken from the Battle of Ziklag, they rather thought of stoning David. What has David done? He has also lost his wives. He's lost his children. But because you are so depressed and emotional, you are taking decisions that are irrational. And that is why even in a church, you should not take decisions when you are offended. You should not take decisions when you are in pain. Because you are likely to take foolish decisions just like the men who wanted to kill David. The Bible says that they thought of stoning David. If they had stoned him, he would not have lived to ask God, shall I pursue them? And God would not have said, pursue, overtake, and recover all. And they would never have recovered all that they have. So emotions, anger, pain, offense, it's difficult, but let it pass. Let it pass. You are in a boat and it's shaking like this. It will come to a standstill at a point. Let it pass, because offense, pain, it clouds your judgment. It clouds your judgment. What was the question?
Also, I think she doesn't know how she can look past the hateful words.
Yeah, so people say things and they say deep, and sometimes they say, yes, I mean it, whatever, but they don't. And when the thing has passed, you know, Joel Osteen's father, he was called John Osteen. And he used to say that, he preached, I heard him say that, he's so glad God doesn't answer his every prayer. Because when he's angry with his wife, he prays, God, throw her away, lock her in the cupboard, whatever. And the next day, he's very happy to have a wife by him. You see, so you can't trust human, but he has to learn to speak with grace. And hopefully, it will come.
Mommy, please, I'm in level 200 and my beloved wants us to marry this year. How do I do this?
Hey, marriage calls for maturity. Maturity spiritually, maturity financially, maturity emotionally, maturity psychologically, and maturity what else?
Physically.
Physically, you know. So marriage is not just you marry. So, do you have enough money to look after yourself? Do you have enough time to look after a man Me, if I've married at level 200, I would have gone back to my mother. One, two more. Hey, this big, big, big law books that I should be making stew and jollof. No, when he was my beloved, if he comes, I have food, I give him. If I have extra, I give him. But I'm not a wife, so you can't ask me, mommy, where is my food? You cannot ask me. Because when my father was bringing me to school, pocket money, now I'm mommy. So you cannot ask me. Yeah, and then as a student, I may have to go for discussion at Mensa Sabah. When I come, you are now holding me in the night. I can't do. I have to learn. So everybody and their and what they are able to do. But I think when I look back, I can't do that. But although my husband says that if he had to live again, he will marry in school. And I always say, you will marry in school. Me, dear, I will not marry in school. Everybody. And also marrying in school, not level 200.
Yeah.
But you haven't told me your age.
That's right.
But level 200, you are usually not mature. No. You see, somebody married, if LPBM remembers, at Kolegono, then we had a marriage seminar. The man said that since I married her, any small problem in the house, take me to mama. Every problem, take me to, that's what you are going to do. Everything, you'll be going to mama. It's not right. You know, but maturity is not always age. Some people are young, but they are mature.
Yeah.
And they can handle certain things, you know. So.
Wow.
I mean, I don't think my father will even have allowed. So.
Please, my beloved and I were very good friends for 4 years before we became beloveds. Recently, I realized that she has become very moody. And each time I ask her what the problem is, she wouldn't say. 3 days ago, she finally decided to talk and was like, she wants us to be friends again. And that she liked it better when we were friends.
Than when they are beloved.
I asked what the problem was. She complained about our communication. We both agreed to work on it and decided to continue being beloved, but now I'm scared because I feel she can randomly break my heart. I truly love her and I feel she loves me too, but what she did has brought some fear into me. How should I handle this situation, please?
What you see is what you get. So, but you know, having said that, you will also always marry an imperfect person. So you should ask yourself whether you can live with it. Because you too will have a left leg that the beloved may also not like. So some people say, oh, the person is too moody, whatever. But sometimes the people themselves are moody. So they feel that they should marry somebody who will bring them happiness, but not that they are going to change. I don't know if you understand the difference. So like, what you see is real. So if you think that she has so many other good qualities that outweigh this, fine. But you must know that it's possible that she's going to have quiet moments of withdrawal when she doesn't talk and all that. Can you stand to be blessed? Can you live with it? You have to look at the realities. But I think that marriage is also so that you make the other person a better person. Mm. It's not just the person should come ready-made.
Yeah.
And then you're, I mean, so it's quite dicey.
Mommy, please, I've been married for 13 years with 3 kids. And my husband has been cheating for 12 of the 13 years. And even has 2 kids with the other woman. Recently, things were not going well at all between us. He doesn't sleep at home, and the kids and I don't often see him. He doesn't even talk to me. And there are times when I just want to call it quits. I'm so confused. Please help me.
Well, like I said at first, you are within the tenets of the Bible. You see, people feel that, oh, all divorce is wrong, but Jesus didn't say that.
Yeah.
He said that on grounds of adultery, you may divorce. He didn't say no divorce at all. There are other things that, you know, a big pastor in America was just sharing his testimony. He got married. He loved his wife. Some years ago, 1960s old. And then 2 years after, I think he had two kids, or did he have kids or not? I don't remember. The wife came to tell him that, I don't know why I married you because I'm actually a lesbian. But he felt that they could still work it out. He was an Assemblies of God pastor. He said that he went to every counseling you could think of, taking his wife, trying to let it work, you know. Then he went to see Don George, who was then their superintendent and all that. But the wife didn't give in and wanted whatever. So in the end, after some years, he had to accept it. And the marriage broke. In Assemblies of God, then, I'm sure it's the same now, when you divorce, you can't be a pastor. So he was worried about that. And he went to his district superintendent. And the district superintendent said, no, God says that on grounds of adultery, you can divorce. So the church, I'd never heard of it, gave him an ecclesiastical annulment. So that, and I went to check, it means that the marriage has been annulled as if it never happened. And so now he's remarried, and they have two children. And he's been married to this woman for 41 years. You know, so there are a lot of broken lives also that at a point you have to take a decision. Now, the pastor can never take it for you, but within the confines of scripture, you have not done anything wrong. Mm-hmm. But you have to come to that point of what you want to do, you know, so.
What is the appropriate way to confess a sin to your spouse without causing mistrust or divorce? And I think there's a similar one here. Oh, I can't find it. Okay.
Some people say,
yeah.
A lady walked into my office and I was talking about being naked and not being ashamed. And she said, Auntie Mami, I can't be. Years ago in college, she said, I cannot be naked. Hey, I've had about 40 boyfriends who, and I've slept with all of them. This one provided me this. Well, now that I've found a Kwife husband, I'm going to tell him 40. I've told him two. And so I said to her, why didn't you rather say, you know, I'm so ashamed of my past that I think that we'll be helped without details. You know, I don't want to go there because I'm so ashamed of my past. So if we could just move on, I'll be happy. And, or if I could just give you the headlines. Of course, some people too, they want to do cross-examination. And then later they cannot handle it. You know, so the person you owe it to, I think, must be part of the decision. And I don't know. I know a pastor, not our church, who told me that even that in his church, it led to divorce. Because when they got married, she was telling Bishop and I, the woman said that she was a virgin. But the first night, he saw that, no, her moves were postgraduates. So he confronted her, and she did say yes. But I'm doing all this just because I love you very much and I want to make you happy. So the pastor was telling Bishop and I that he thought the man would be happy. But although he was happy, he couldn't handle it. So in the end, after a few weeks, the marriage broke. Yeah, so sometimes you don't need to know everything because you can't handle it. You know, but between the two of you have to decide. Are we done?
Yes, the second one that I wanted to add to this was somebody was saying that in the case of childlessness in marriage, and you meet someone on the job and one thing leads to the other, you start sleeping together, thereby getting pregnant. You seek to abort it, but the other man too doesn't have a child in his marriage, so he insists that you keep it. Do you tell your husband? Can this lead to divorce?
Of course.
What do you do?
What do you do? You tell your husband the complexity of what has happened, and you live with the consequences.
Yeah.
Because you cannot live a lie
yeah.
all your life. You know, there have been people who maybe they've won the lottery, and then you have to do DNA, and they go and do the DNA. Then you see that your wife has been lying to you all along.
Miss.
You see, they always say that the one who really knows the father of the baby is the wife. That is why even the Akans believe more in their sister's child than their own child, which is also very demonic, but yeah. So I think that what has happened is the wisdom of the world is seeping a lot into the church. And it's called humanism because it makes sense humanly. But we should remember, when Sarah proposed Hagar to Abraham, it may have made sense because I can't give birth by this person. But look at the Hamas-Gaza war. Look at that region and all the problems. One decision, one misstep has affected eternity. How can that be? So I think that I would like to leave us with Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A lot of believers are in the church. They don't know God's word. They don't care about God's word. There's no fear of God. You don't look for what God's word is saying. You are always looking for easy things to do. But God's word is hard. And God's word will cost you something to obey. It costs you not to be promiscuous. It costs you to keep your zip shut. And now I'm realizing, I don't know whether it's internet, I don't know what it is, there's a lot of female infidelity. And it's like, it's now accepted. It's like, you do, I do. You also, I mean, the world has come so much into the church. I heard somebody preaching. He said that when you are marrying a man, don't just marry him because you don't know what is under his trousers. But rather, a preacher, as he is your beloved, tell him to show you his thing and then hold it and see whether it's working. Yeah, not hearsay. Before, and when she finished, she advertised their church. We meet here. So whatever, I said, Satan, you are a liar. This is humanism. I bind it and I, whatever, you know. But it made sense. And I saw it on a page that I belong to. And the people thought that, oh, it makes sense, ma. You know, because the way she was saying, she said that, why should you go into America? You haven't tested things and you don't know. And I thought that this is the same Abraham Hagar type of mind. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. But now, even sometimes, the world has better marriages than the body of God. You speak to your wife anyhow. You know, somebody came to me for counsel, pastor's wife. She said, the husband said that, how dare you correct me? What you are doing to is wrong. I said that even, how dare you tell me what? I said, Naaman's house girl crash showed him where he should go for healing. Yes, and the Bible says it's better to be a child than to be an old king who can no longer be admonished. You know, and he said that when God was anointing me, where were you? God anointed me before he anointed, and so what? It doesn't make it right. You are comparing sheep and eggs. It's not the same. You know, so please, in humility, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. And look, the Bible says, in concluding, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. And what this older woman I was tell you about, whose husband left like 20 years, the man's end was pitiful. But when he was on, he felt that he was leading life. But at the end, it wasn't. There's a way that seems right. But beloved, the end is death. Whenever I see Hamas, Palestine, I say, look, this is just somebody's homo that has brought about all this. May the Lord help us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Amen.
And thank God for another year.
It was great having you today. To find out more about the resources available by Adelaide Heward Mills, please visit at the Kodesh, North Kaneshi, or meet her on Facebook at Adelaide Heward Mills. For prayer and counseling, please call 0243 187900. You can also drop us an email at honeyonmylips@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, God richly bless you.